The Anarchist Black Cross Federation, the ABCF, is an international organization that supports political prisoners. In the following interview, we'll hear Sarah and Mike, two members of the Montreal chapter of the ABCF, share with us what they do as activists who support political prisoners within their local chapter. They'll also speak more in depth about two of the nine political prisoners that they are currently doing support work for, they being Alvaro Luna Hernandez and Robert Seth Hayes, and why their cases are critical at this point in time.
The Anarchist Black Cross is a group that's been around since the early 1900s, began in Russia and sort of spread internationally, focusing on the support of political prisoners and prisoners of war. The Federation is a group of ABC collectives that formed in the mid-90s, I guess, or early 90s, so that all the different collectives, ABC collectives in North America, could be sharing resources and functioning better than a bunch of separate groups.
We work with nine separate prisoners, all within the United States. Marilyn Buck, Alvaro Luna Hernandez, Robert Seth Hayes, Audrey Letello, Janet Africa, Jan Lahman, Reluc Levasseur, David Gilbert, and Sekou Kambwe. Those are the nine prisoners that we work with on varying degrees of support. Some of them were involved in different struggles, most of them in the struggles in the 60s and 70s, mostly class war struggles. Some of the exceptions are Alvaro Hernandez was a Chicano civil rights activist. Sekou Kambwe was a black civil rights activist in the 60s. Robert Seth Hayes was in the Black Panther Party and Black
When we got started, we wanted to work with a different range of people so that we could really get a sense of, you know, what types of struggles are happening with political prisoners and what kind of histories they have. So we're working with Ohio 7 members and Black Panthers and Black Liberation Army, former members of the SDS. And
I guess we wanted not just to support these prisoners. We knew that there'd be a lot in return with the correspondence with these people who obviously have a real wealth of knowledge and experience that they could help us with our own activities and develop our beliefs, and it certainly turned out to be the case. Like with Marilyn Buck, she really challenges us on the feminist issues. Audrey Letello really is challenging in how you do support work, race issues within anarchism, the lack of black representation in anarchism. And some of them, like Jan Lahman, are just really cool, supportive people. They're just really nice to know.
Sarah and Mike from the Montreal chapter of the Anarchist Black Cross explain the background of the case of civil rights activist and political prisoner Alvaro Luna Hernandez.
Alvaro is an activist who focused a lot on the Chicano struggle. He's from Texas, and he was also very focused on prisoner support work. He actually was head of a committee that worked successfully for the release of a prisoner who had been falsely accused of murder and was on death row in Texas. And then he also spoke in front of the United Nations, I think during the 90s at some point, before a committee that was looking into the prison conditions in the United States. So he was a really well-known activist, a really sought-after speaker, and just very dedicated and articulate. Because of his work, and especially because of his scrutiny of the police department in Texas, he became the target of basically just a campaign of threats, and he became very much in fear of his life over a period of time before he was arrested.
These threats were coming from the police?
Yes, he was being threatened, and also, you know, hearing lots of information about their activities. He was being followed just about constantly leading up to his arrest, despite the fact that he wasn't involved in any sort of militant movement at the time. You know, he's sort of comparatively speaking to some of the other prisoners we work with, like, he didn't have a history of incarceration or anything like that, like, and hadn't been accused of any crime before he was arrested. Basically, what happened was a police officer came to his door without a warrant and demanded to enter his home. When Alvaro questioned him on this act, the police officer pulled a gun. Alvaro disarmed him and fled.
The date in which the police officer came to Alvaro's house in Odessa, Texas, was July 18th, 1996. The robbery charge, which was later dismissed due to the falseness and absurdity of the charge.
He was actually hiding in the mountains around his home for some time, like for a series of days. There was a large manhunt, and he ended up coming down to his mother's home to seek refuge, where the police found him, and there was a huge, I don't want to call it a gunfight, because basically the police were just firing on the house. He eventually had to call 911 to tell them that he was trying to surrender and that the police wouldn't let him, that they were trying to assassinate him by making it seem that he wouldn't surrender. So basically that's the story that led up to his capture at that time.
In June 9th of 1997, Alvaro was sentenced to 50 years for assault of a police officer when he was attempting to, successfully save his own life. I've never heard of receiving a 50-year sentence
for assault.
For assault. That's...
The thing is, it's an unusual sentence, but at the same time, it's not that unusual, because people that are active politically are routinely sentenced to, like, ridiculous sentences for small crimes. Like they're given the maximum sentence that's possibly available for, like, a bunch of small crimes, and then they make them serve them concurrently instead of consecutively, and so that it just draws it out as much as possible. Technically, they can't give them longer sentences than allowed by the law, but they give them the longest sentence, like, to the point of it being sort of ridiculous the way they sentence things like this.
Here we learn what political activities Alvaro Luna Hernandez is currently doing in prison.
He has been working a lot on his own appeal. Part of his problem right now, and part of the problem of a lot of these prisoners, is that they can't afford their own legal representation. He's been representing himself, which, you know, is not so bad considering his legal expertise over the years. But at the same time, you know, he's not a lawyer, and so it's very complicated for him. And, like, with the restrictions that he faces in prison, it's very complicated for him to be filing all these legal papers. He's had an appeal before the Supreme Court that's basically just been collecting dust for about a year now. So he has to file, you know, appeals to have his appeal looked at and that sort of thing. And it's, they're just impeding the process, basically.
Well, since Alvaro's incarceration, he's been working on behalf of prisoner rights within his prison.
Alvaro Luna Hernandez is falsely charged with assaulting another prisoner.
Alvaro is accused of ordering an assault on another prisoner because he's supposedly the leader of some gang, which is, you know, patently absurd if you know anything about his history of activism. And it's just, like, it's so transparent what's happening here. He's the target of harassment because of his political activity and because the fact that he's incarcerated hasn't stopped him from being politically active. And so right now he's in administrative segregation or solitary confinement 23 and a half hours a day. He doesn't have any personal property except for writing materials. He's had problems with his mail mysteriously disappearing and that sort of thing. His constant pressure on the authorities, like, trying to appeal this and work on his own case and that sort of thing, is just being met, you know, sort of with a brick wall. So that's something that we're involved in right now, because we support the prisoners sort of generally, but when they're in an emergency situation like this, or a situation of escalated harassment, then we step up and work a little harder to pressure the authorities in that case and to get the information out that this is happening to them.
In the following, we learn what the ABC Montreal is currently doing to support Alvaro.
Well, one of the main things we're working on right now is trying to get him a lawyer on a pro bono basis, because he's been doing amazing work on his own legal defense until now, but, I mean, he's in such a position that his resources are completely cut off, and that this has really escalated, you know, the situation. He's into the point that he needs some outside help, and so we're trying to contact different organizations to see if we can get people interested in supporting him in that way. And then also trying to get the general public involved by publicizing stuff in print form and on the web. It's right now sort of a letter-writing campaign, a campaign where we're making phone calls to the prison, and where his organizers in that area are holding protests, marches, and that sort of thing to draw a lot of local attention to the situation. A lot of it, and this happens in a lot of situations, it's a matter of making the public know that this situation is happening and letting the authorities know that you know, that these people aren't being forgotten. So it's sort of a number of things you have to do at the same time. The trying to contact the authorities and pressure them, trying to raise money for his legal defense, and trying to get the public sort of at large to understand more about what's happening with his case and with political prisoners in general.
He's appealing his status as a gang member, which has put him in solitary confinement. That's why he needs a lawyer right now, because he can't appeal this forever, and once his appeal goes through, he needs a lawyer to help him out with it. Otherwise, he'd be spending the rest of his sentence in solitary confinement.
That's exactly the pressure right now. I mean, in general, we're trying to appeal his case so that he'll be released, because, you know, the entire reason he's in prison is a complete injustice, you know. But right now, the major priority is to get him out of solitary, because if they decide that he's a gang member and that he's a threat to the rest of the prison, then under their own regulations, they can leave him in solitary permanently. That's another major thing, actually, that the Federation and that other ABCs organize around, is solitary confinement. And even people that don't work with political prisoners, that's a major issue right now. Solitary confinement is just about the most inhumane thing, short of the death penalty, that exists in the prison system right now. And so we work really hard when people are in a situation like that to try and get them out of that, like, you know, to at least release that little bit of torture while we still work on the larger issues at stake. And the same with poor medical treatment, which is why we work with SEP.
Anarchist Black Cross members Sarah and Mike speak about political prisoner Robert Seth Hayes, who is a former Black Panther and who was involved in the Black Liberation Army. Robert Seth Hayes is not receiving proper medical care at the Clinton Correctional Facility, and Sarah and Mike explain the urgency of his medical situation.
As with all the prisoners we work with who are fighting for Black liberation, we're fighting to get public knowledge of their cases increased. With a lot of the activists from the 60s and 70s, I think a lot of people don't realize that there's still so many Black Panthers and groups that were associated with them in prison as a result of COINTELPRO and campaigns like that. But sort of on the more short term or immediate sense, what we're focused on is essential medical care for Robert Seth Hayes. He suffers from diabetes and hepatitis C, and had been receiving sort of minimal treatment for it for the past few years. Very suddenly, several months ago, treatment for his hepatitis C was discontinued entirely, with no indication that it will be continued in the future. They've also stopped testing for his blood sugar levels on a daily basis. And anybody who knows anything about diabetes knows that that's completely unsafe. Diabetics generally check their blood sugar twice a day. Instead of that happening, not just Seth, but all other diabetic prisoners in New York State are just given an insulin injection once a day, regardless of what their blood sugar levels might be. And this is regarded as acceptable treatment for them right now. He suffered a lot of side effects as a result of this neglect right now, and so we're fighting to eradicate those conditions. And the great thing about Seth is that he's not just doing it for himself, that he's involved in this campaign to get adequate medical treatment for all prisoners in New York State, and that he's trying to organize prisoners around that, especially other diabetics in his prison.
And as a result of this, Seth has been suffering from dizziness, nausea, headaches, weakness, and we went to visit him just a few months ago, and his hands are cracked and bleeding due to poor circulation. And another fear with diabetics, other than death, which is really what he's facing right now, is a death sentence with this treatment. I'm worried about it due to it, like what I saw in his hands and the obvious lack of circulation. There's no warmth that, you know, you can lose a limb quite easily to diabetes.
So it's the same. It's the same type of organization as with Alvaro's situation. You know, it's about letter writing. It's about letting the public know what's happening, raising funds when possible, and also just in all of their cases about letting them know and letting the authorities know that we're there for them, that we're not just going to let this happen.
Yeah, the state has to know that people out there are aware of the injustices going on within the prison, that they're not going to get away with it within secrecy, that not just the people in the small town in that area, but people around the world are aware of these injustices and we're not going to stand for it.
Sarah and Mike speak about what they hope to achieve in the near future, working more closely with outside communities so as to make the links with local political struggles and political prisoners.
Well, that's actually something that's a pretty big priority for us in the next year or so. We want to start working more with outside communities because their struggles are the struggles of all of these other groups, you know. And if we can work to make these community groups realize that, you know, there are people in prison for the very issues they're fighting for, then hopefully this can become a larger movement. If people are interested in helping us do the work we're doing, or if they want to learn more about these prisoners, they can visit our website at www.montrealabcf.org, where we have information. That's actually sort of one of the big projects we've worked on in the past year, is that site, because it helps us get information out to groups all over the world. And also the prisoners have a big say in that. A lot of the work that we do is directed by the prisoners. This was actually the idea of Jan Lahman, and he's kind of guided us through what it's become right now. And each prisoner has their own section where we update as to news about them. They can put their own writings on, there's pictures of them and that sort of thing. So if you want to learn about the cases that we're working with, then that's a good place to start. There's over 100 political prisoners in North America, and a lot of people don't know that. And so the first thing that people can do is kind of start educating themselves about these cases and find cases that they feel strongly about, and then try and contact those prisoners or contact groups that are working with them. Even if you only have a little bit of time, everybody can do something to make their lives a little easier and to contribute to their struggle. Activist individuals, in any sense, political prisoners have to be at least part of your priority. It's just irresponsible that people could think that, you know, to forget about people that have sacrificed their freedom, sacrificed the rest of their lives for the same movements that you're working towards, you know. So I think just learning more about them to begin with is the first step. I think the second step has to do a lot with communicating with the prisoners directly, because, you know, this isn't some paternalistic movement where we want to help them out or do things on their behalf. They're very much involved in their own support and very much involved in determining what needs to be done, you know. We didn't just decide to do these campaigns on behalf of Alvaro or Seth or any of the other prisoners. They tell us what they need, and we use the resources that they don't have in their position. We use the resources that we're lucky enough to have on the outside to support them, you know, side by side, not for them, but with them. So talking to them, you know, writing to them, and getting a real sense of if they're in need and have immediate needs is the best way to go about it. And that's why there's groups like us to kind of facilitate that, so people can contact us, or if they're more interested in different types of prisoners or different types of groups, you can do it by yourself, but it's easier to do it with groups that have the resources and have sort of experience doing it.
The state has to know that there's a lot of voices that aren't going to stand for the injustices that are being done, and the more voices that are heard, the more success the movement will have.
There are more than 100 political prisoners in the United States, all of whom are serving outrageously long sentences under cruel conditions. In this interview, you have heard a brief description of just two such political prisoners, Alvaro Luna Hernandez and Robert Seth Hayes, and the urgency of support that is needed for both of them. If you wish to write to either of these political prisoners, their contact information is the following. Alvaro Luna Hernandez, number 255735, Hughes Unit, Route 2, Box 4400, Gatesville, Texas, USA 76597. Robert Seth Hayes, number 74A2280, Clinton Correctional Facility, Post Office Box 2000, Dannemora, New York, USA 12929. If you wish to contact the Anarchist Black Cross Chapter in Montreal, you can contact them through the internet. Their website is www.montrealabcf.org.